This is Jim Sklavunis of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, where gambling is now legal in New York. And we're going to hear today from the executive director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling, James Maney, about if gambling is a problem in New York State. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
This is the
news.
This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update.
I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that state officials announced July 25th that $387 million is being passed on to 1,452 local governments across New York as the second half of pandemic recovery funds. The money is from the Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, part of the American Rescue Plan Act. The fund provides relief for smaller local governments who shared in the public health response. Last summer, localities collected half of their designated funding and are now receiving an identical amount. Greene County received a total of around $4.8 million, roughly $2.4 million in 2021, and another $2.4 million scheduled to be received in late July and early August. Under the legislation, larger municipalities receive their funding directly from the U.S. Treasury Department, while the state is responsible for distributing allocations to non-entitled units of government that did not receive a direct payment. The funds can be used to support public health expenditures, address negative economic impacts caused by the public health emergency, replace the revenue loss due to the pandemic, provide premium pay for essential workers, and invest in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. Allocations for Greene County municipalities were made on a per capita basis, ranging from a grant of $771,300 to the town of Catskill to just under $49,000 to the village of Hunter. The town of Walcott declined funding. Read the full story at theporcupinesoup.com.
Columbia Green Media is reporting that there are only a few more weeks of construction on the Rip Van Winkle Bridge and that traffic lanes have been altered. The construction by A. Carl Russo and Sons Incorporated in Hudson has eliminated toll booths and installed monitors that read easy passes or license plates for automated toll charges. And that work has redirected the westbound lane on the bridge approach straight instead of bearing right on the Catskill side of the bridge. Chris Steimer, public information officer for the New York State Bridge Authority, says there may now be alternating traffic lanes during the final weeks of work on an as-needed basis between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. The work is expected to be completed by the end of September. Stepler said, and I quote, "Once the project is finished, drivers will not only have a more timely ride across the bridge, but a more seamless one as well." End quote.
It Hudson News is reporting the State Division of Consumer Protection has warned residents of a text phishing scheme targeting cell phone users as part of an attempt to steal data. Scam artists are impersonating financial institutions claiming that a customer's account is compromised as a result of unusual activity. In truth, the message is an attempt to trick the recipient into sharing personal information such as credit card, bank account, or social security numbers. The state is offering the following advice. Inspect the sender's information to confirm that the message was generated from a legitimate source without clicking on the link or calling the number on the text. Do not respond to the text, not even by writing stop to the sender. Always remember that banks will never ask you to provide confidential information through text. If you are suspicious, call the bank or financial institution directly to understand the protocols for alerting customers to potential fraud. Do not post sensitive information online. Be alert for misspelled words, which are used to bypass a phone carrier's filter system for fraud, and block unknown senders from your cell phone. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
On July 26, the House of Representatives approved a bipartisan cannabis research bill, the Medical Marijuana and Cannabidiol Research Expansion Act, passed 325 to 95, with all the no votes coming from Republicans. But more Republicans, 109, voted for the bill than against. Locally, though, Representative Elise Stefanik voted against the bill, while Democrats Paul Tonko from the 20th District and Sean Maloney from the 18th District voted for the bill. There was no vote cast from the 19th Congressional District, as Democrat Antonio Delgado resigned earlier in the year to become New York's Lieutenant Governor. H.R. 8454 says, and I quote, "The bill allows certain registered entities, including institutions of higher education, practitioners, and manufacturers, to manufacture, distribute, dispense, and possess marijuana," end quote. Some observers expect the bipartisanship to continue when the Senate votes, which would make the first ever standalone cannabis reform bill to reach a president's desk.
Greta Gochum is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that the city of North Adams, Massachusetts, has been looking for a buyer for the historic Mohawk Theater all summer, but no one submitted a bid to redevelop the long-empty venue by the July 26 deadline, according to Mike Nuvalli, director of the city's Office of Community Development. The theater originally opened in 1938 and closed in 1991. Quote, "While it's a little discouraging, it's not the end of the road for the Mohawk Theater," unquote, Mayor Jennifer Maxey said at a city council meeting this week. The city got a, quote, "slew of questions," unquote, after tours of the building, Maxey said. Quote, "We're to regroup and we're a little disappointed, but we're going to take pulses on all the people that did tours and try to figure out why there were no applications," unquote. Last year, the building was almost sold to a developer who proposed an event and performance space. However, Maxey turned down the plan, saying more community input was needed. Plus, she discovered the city still owed about $52,000 on an existing loan on the building. The mayor solicited more public comment in early 2022, and in June, the city put out a call to redevelop the building. Quote, "We might have outpriced ourselves," unquote, Maxey said. Quote, "But again, I'm not going to give that building away," unquote. The required minimum bid was $100,000. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports in the Columbia paper that the Hudson Housing Authority's new executive director, Jeffrey Dodson, led his first meeting of the board July 18th. The authority sets policy for 135 units of income-restricted residences in the high-rise Bliss Tower and the three low-rise buildings in Hudson. Dodson moved the public comment portion of the meeting to the start and heard from residents complaining about drug selling and a community room they said was locked up 90% of the time. Dodson directed the resident to come talk to him about the issue in his office. The new business at the meeting was working on scheduling and arranging elections to fill two open seats on the board. The next Housing Authority meeting is at 6 p.m. August 15th in the Bliss Community Room if it is unlocked. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mainly after 5 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with the temperature high near 87 degrees. There will be a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m. on Thursday night. Then a slight chance of showers between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 65 degrees. And on Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 a.m., then a chance of showers between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 83 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Thursday, July 28th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM WGXC, including at 10 a.m. Cheryl Kay speaks with vocalist, composer, and agricultural economist Deb Rasmussen on her Situation Fluxus jazz interview show at 10 a.m. on WGXC. Then at 11 a.m., hear new works from Death Cab for Cutie, Wasteblood, and an old song from Sparks on the All Mixed Up show at 11 a.m. And Wasta Musica at noon features musical ensembles. At 2 p.m., it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth, with some Inconvenient Truths this week. And and then let the coup continue at 3 p.m. on Turn On the News. From New Zealand and Australia, Radio Suggest beams in on the Radia Show at 3:30 p.m. with some special radio art just for you. And then at 7 p.m., it's time for Chris Funkhauser's Poet Radio Show. And this month, he features Brandon Downing, the writer, videographer, and visual artist. Tune in all day on 90.7 FM, WGXC, and WGXC.org.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, July 28th. Coldest spot is 65 degrees in Smith Corner, and the warmest early this morning is 72 degrees over in Claremont. Soil temperature is holding at 70 degrees. It looks like isolated rain chances will linger all day with some possible storm activity in the afternoon. It is going to feel muggy with a high of 90 degrees, happening at 4 p.m. Overnight, rain stops and we see a humid low of 64. Friday, a chance of rain mostly in the afternoon and a high of 85. Another muggy night hitting 64 degrees, then a dry and mostly comfortable Saturday with a high of 84 at 4 p.m. 60 degrees overnight takes us into a nice-looking Sunday with a high of 87. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Expect a dip tomorrow and rough conditions over the weekend. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:28 a.m., then low tide at 10:20 a.m. High tide again at 4:04 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:12 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 78 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:06 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:41 a.m. Looking way up, we see not much is happening right now. Sun is quiet. Local magnetic field is pretty stable. Tomorrow, we got 3 near-Earth objects expected. largest of which is 129 meters wide, traveling at 5 kilometers per second. If it somehow collided with Earth, it would easily match the power of our planet's largest weapons. Solar wind speed is currently 417 kilometers per second at 5.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet, and the current sunspot number is 53. This has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mail of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hey there, I'm Brendan Donegan, host of the Playing Favorites show, heard on WGXC every Monday morning. A few weeks ago, I was driving through Hudson looking for a parking space and turned on the radio to hear a sad collection of teeny bopper tunes, stale oldies, and blustery call-ins. I eventually found 90.7 FM. The morning show was on, and Tom Rowe was playing some blazing hot rock and roll. It was Chris Forsythe, my latest guitar hero. Now, you won't hear Chris on other stations in Columbia or Greene counties. That's what's magical about WGXC. Tune in anytime and you'll likely hear something new and interesting. Did you know that for as little as $5 a month, you can help keep WGXC an oasis in a sonic desert? Just click donate at WGXC.org or call 518-697-7400 to keep creative community radio for open ears on the air for you.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Sono lieto di poter rievocare, in poche parole, le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio e il nuovo mondo.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
This is something we've waited for a very long time.
More than a year after negotiations began, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Joe Manchin struck an energy and health care deal, part of a budget reconciliation package Democrats plan to pass on a party line vote. It invests $369 billion in energy climate programs, $300 billion to reduce the deficit, lowers prescription drug prices, and extends health care subsidies. And it faces opposition from Republicans, including Senator Joni Ernst, who blamed historically high inflation on Democratic spending proposals.
Bidenomics is driving up the costs of everything, and the Democrats' solution is to spend even more of your hard-earned money to pay for more of their pricey partisan pet projects.
The legislation would be paid for by a 15% corporate minimum tax, savings from empowering Medicaid to negotiate lower drug prices, and closing tax loopholes. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell announced an interest rate hike of 0.75 point, noting he does not believe the U.S. is in a recession.
Overall, in all probability, demand is still strong and the economy is still on track to continue to grow this year. But the slowdown in the second quarter is notable.
The latest quarterly GDP data will be released today. Amid a split within the party, House Democratic leaders canceled votes on a package of public safety bills that would increase police funding. Chairman of the House Democratic Caucus, Akeem Jeffries, said accusations his party wants to defund the police are lies from MAGA Republicans.
They are completely and totally out of control, run by people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. This is not the Republican Party of John Boehner and Paul Ryan anymore. And we think that that's a problem.
The package also includes an assault weapons ban opposed by Republicans and some Democrats. Capitol Police have told demonstrators to stay away from tonight's annual congressional baseball game. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, who was critically wounded in a politically motivated shooting at the 2017 game, said protesting a charity event is shameful.
I think this attack on institutions that they don't agree with politically, it's wearing on people. People are tired of just every day they wake up and they're angry.
A week after his COVID diagnosis, President Joe Biden has tested negative. He contrasted his case to former President Donald Trump's in 2020 when vaccinations weren't available.
He had to get helicoptered to Walter Reed Medical Center. He was severely ill. Thankfully, he recovered. When I got COVID, I worked from upstairs at the White House.
Biden touted how far the country has come with vaccinations, testing, and treatments. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello. We are extremely pleased that you are here.
Forever.
It is good to come together for the purpose of co-creating. Do you agree?
Just like that.
You're knowing what you are wanting?
No memory whatsoever.
Hello.
It is an expanding thing, yes.
Hello.
And that's good, yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Well, here's what it says.
It's beginning to rival people.
This is what it says.
It is beginning to rival people.
This is what it says.
Can you hear me?
Well, here's what it says.
Hello.
The pulse. Like.
Can you hear me?
The pulse that is erratic and irregular. The pulse. Thousands of minutes a month.
Can you hear me?
For dozens of hours a week.
Oh.
So I'm not interested in dying the way that people did in the past. I would rather be dead than die of the diseases of aging.
We're going to start to add 10, 20, 30 years on your life. Longevity escape velocity.
Because we're not dead today.
The point at which for every year that you're alive,
technology
is extending your life for more than a year.
You don't have to die.
People who want to live.
Hello. Hello.
Wouldn't it be nice to have the option
to
extend our lives as long as we wish?
Whoa!
And we're
starting to upload ourselves.
What are you worried about?
Several versions of you exploring the universe reanimate you in different forms. Something will be backing us up.
Because it is possible. It is inevitable.
But we don't think it's inevitable. We think it can be stopped.
And perhaps it's not even there.
The pulse.
But if it is,
you recognize it.
Ingenious intelligence.
I recognize it.
Helps to interrupt growth.
You recognize it.
I recognize it. Aerotoxic into space.
Blocking duplication.
Clearly reduplicated.
You recognize it. I already said
it. A 7-year-old innocent child with aerotoxic into space.
You do recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A variety of cells in the network must grow.
You recognize it. Yeah.
This involves aggregation of an ever-growing range of cells.
I want industry!
I mostly talked about my cancer.
You recognize it!
You can't imagine!
We certainly hope to do at least as well as the cellular phone industry.
We're in the midst of an experiment on my grandchildren and your children. We're in the midst of an experiment. It's the pulse.
Congratulations.
We don't have a control group.
The world's biggest problems, the world's biggest business opportunities.
Over a lifetime.
You're here.
That irregular pulsed signal.
Congratulations.
The pulse.
I don't think you can do anything.
Pulse.
But go ahead.
Pulse.
We have more capital available than ever in human history.
This is our last chance.
Pulse. Microwave radiation.
And I think.
Your owner's manual.
It's a winner.
Says that the smartphone should never be within about an inch of the body.
The pulse in your pocket.
If we...
Are you Mr. Edge?
If you...
We haven't heard from that. Do you want us to keep trying for you?
Just like that.
You want to cancel? Oh, okay, we'll cancel for now. Thank you.
to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
My name is James Maney. I am the executive director for the New York Council on Problem Gambling, and I've been the executive director for 21 years. And before that, I ran the first outpatient problem gambling program in the Albany area. And before that, I ran an inpatient drug and alcohol facility in Albany. So my whole life had been dedicated to helping folks with addictions. The New York Council on Problem Gambling, we have two missions. One is to raise the awareness of problem gambling in the state of New York and to get help for folks that need it. In other words, that folks that are suffering from problem pathological gambling or family members that just need some resources to know what gambling is, or to answer questions on what is problematic gambling, or what are some of the warning signs for it. So we have 7 problem gambling resource centers throughout the whole state, from Buffalo to Long Island. And our mission is to really answer any question, be there for any person, provide the help needed for problem gambling. And as you know, problem gambling has been in the news a lot lately as a result of the advent of mobile sports betting. And when we take a look at that, we take a look at the social norms. And basically, when we see $200 million in advertisement to conduct new business for mobile sports betting, that seems to be the norm. And so what we try to do is make sure that there is another message out there, that there's a message that for some people, this is not a harmless behavior. For some families, it's a very harmful behavior. For some families and their communities, it's a harmful behavior completely. We try to take a look at when someone talks about what the revenue gained is, we always talk about what the losses are. So if the revenue gained from the state of New York is $600 million, we take a look at New Yorkers have lost $600 million additional as a result of mobile sports betting. And who's having difficulties with that? So we need to make sure that everybody in New York is well aware that there's services available for folks that need it.
That's very helpful. Can you tell us about the warning signs and then more about the services for help?
We'd love to. I appreciate that question. The interesting thing about gambling is that money is always the biggest issue. And that's kind of how we keep score. Are you winning? Are you losing? And if you take a look at it, it's Saratoga season right now up in our area. And if you ask people coming out of the track how they did, they can say whatever they want. Broke even, I won a few bucks, lost a couple dollars. Because we don't know if they won or lost, do we? We can't see it. But if you come out of a bar, you know, after a full day of drinking, and you ask someone, how'd you do? They can't say I had a couple of drinks if they had 12, 14. We kind of would know what the issues are. We would see them intoxicated. We would see a variety of things, but we do not see that in gambling. So that's why we call it the hidden addiction completely. We don't know. And if you think about it, think about credit cards, how many credit cards we can get today. We get as many as we want. So the ability to keep our gambling secretive is easier than to keep our drug or alcohol use secretive. So when we take a look at problem gambling, the first thing that always comes up is the money lost. How much money is lost and how does it interfere with either your spending, your family spending? Are you not paying your bills, et cetera, et cetera? But the second thing about gambling that takes over is the time, energy, and effort. When more and more time is dedicated to the pursuit of gambling. So perhaps you went to the casino one night a week on Friday night. And then suddenly you started going 2 nights a week on the weekend. And then you started sprinkling in Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And suddenly all of those activities that you were doing during that time no longer is available. So perhaps you were in a soccer team at one time, you know, an adult soccer team, and suddenly, it's not as exciting as going to the casino. So it's not only the losses, it's the amount of time spent away from the things that we were doing, healthy behaviors before, now more dedicated to our gambling. How do we give help? If you need help, please go to our website, which is www.nyproblemgambling.org. And on that, we have so much information, where to get help in your county, information on what resources are available. We have free of charge trainings from anywhere from 1 hour to 60 hours of training. We will do presentations to your community organizations. We run an annual conference every year. There is so much that we do at the New York Council on Problem Gambling. But I think the most interesting thing is what we can do is that we have live folks, people that are passionate about helping folks, answering our calls every day from 9 to 5. And what their job is to connect with the caller, to find out exactly what they need and get them the services they need. It may just be, I want a pamphlet on problem gambling. I want a pamphlet on warning signs of problem gambling, to everything from, I need services right away for I've lost everything and I may be suicidal. So we see the whole gamut of issues, and ours is truthfully one of care and concern, and to help folks mitigate whatever issues they have regarding problem gambling.
Thank you for that. I'm very happy that we can help publicize what you do. Can you tell me what the data is on this? Out of the people who do participate in gambling activities, what percentage is likely to become a problem gambler? And how does that compare with the use of other kinds of substances, say people who drink versus people who become alcoholics?
Well, the last study that was conducted by the OASIS, which is the Office of Alcohol Services and Alcohol and Substance Abuse Services, they conducted a prevalence survey recently. And of the folks that gamble, now it's the folks that gamble, about 12% currently could be called problem gamblers. That is a large, large number based on their criteria. And what we're seeing right now is the young men are probably the most vulnerable right now, though it does not discriminate with anybody. We also see a large percentage of women between the ages of 40 and 60 experiencing severe issues with that right now. I will say one thing that we do know about all the other addictions, that the rate of suicide with problem gamblers is higher than any other of the other addictions. And it makes sense. You know, you think about how much money is lost as a result of problem gambling and the ability to get that money back. So if you lose $75,000, it's hard to get $75,000 back. When I was a therapist, there was a family that came in, they owed about $64,000. And we looked at a time schedule to pay that debt off, taking a second job at the day when it was only like, you know, $6.75 an hour. It was going to take them 34 years to pay that off. And in a gambler's mind is, what's easier than that? Easier for me to go back gambling and perhaps I have a chance to win. And when then you lose again, and if we take a look at suicide, if we can make a little like an accident, the family will be paid off. So it's a very high rate, and we're very concerned about that. When it comes to all the other addictions, one thing we also know, there's a high correlation between alcohol use and gambling. And if you take a look at what happens at the casinos, oftentimes they give free alcohol, right, to the gamblers. So we know what always happens as a result. When we drink, we become less with our money and perhaps spend it more.
With other kinds of addictions, your body cuts you off. You drink enough, you'll pass out. You can't keep drinking to extinction. Drugs, similarly, I mean, you may overdose, but with gambling, there is no cutoff valve. You can just go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think that may be part of the reason why suicides, the rate is higher. Can you give us your website and where people should turn?
Yes.
What do you want to say to people out there short?
If you have any questions, any comments, or anything that you just want to talk about this issue, please give us a call. I mean, that's what we do. That's why we receive our funding from the state of New York. So we work for you. And our job is to help show care and concern and raise awareness of problem gambling in the state of New York and answer any question that anybody has. Our website is www.nyproblemgambling.org. And on that, you can find out all our contact information, every resource that is available, et cetera, et cetera. So please call.
Thank you, James Maney, Executive Director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling. And this has been Kathy Silber for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says it's $4.39 a gallon is the lowest price you can find in Greene County at the Citco in South Cairo. And the National Weather Service in Albany says the air quality forecast is 29, the same as on Wednesday in the area. And the UV index is forecast as an 8 on Thursday, which is in a very high range. So during midday hours between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., you should wear a shirt, a hat, and sunscreen if you're out in the sun. And when we look at the National Weather Service forecast for Thursday, they predict scattered showers and thunderstorms. There is a 60% chance, possibly a thunderstorm after 5 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 84 and a wind from the southwest, 5 to 9 miles per hour in the morning, spinning local windmills. Thursday night, again, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 10 p.m. Then it turns partly cloudy with a low around 64 and a west wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Friday, there is just a 40% chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny again with a high near 79 and a southwest wind 5 to 9 miles per hour in the morning. Friday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 59. And Saturday should be sunny with a high of 79 and a low around 58. You've tuned into the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're wrapping up our discussion of the Bipartisan Electoral Count Reform Act in the U.S. Senate with what advocacy groups are saying about the legislation. Carrie Moss, acting National Political Director of the ACLU, said in a statement, "The Senate should closely and carefully review the proposal to reform the Electoral Count Act. It is imperative Americans have confidence in our democratic process, especially after the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. The Campaign Legal Center also endorses the fixes to the Electoral Count Act. Their statement reads, "The next presidential election could be one of the most contentious ever. Now is the time for the Senate to move on this crucial legislation. Congress must act as soon as possible to pass the Electoral Count Reform and Presidential Transition Improvement Act to protect the will of the people, because elections should be decided by the voters, not by partisan politicians." While endorsing the reforms, the Brennan Center for Justice reminds us, fixing the Electoral Count Act is a necessary and important step, but it is no substitute for broader national safeguards. The Freedom to Vote John R. Lewis Act, which passed in the House, but was narrowly defeated because of the filibuster earlier this year in the Senate, would have addressed many of the major problems our democracy faces. Passage of that bill, or one like it, must remain the long-term goal. Read their full statements at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Granny D said, "Democracy is not something we have, it's something we do." For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Synchro, synchro system, synchro system. Sonny,
That was King Sunny a Day with A.C.A. Ray from Synchro System 1983 LP.
The ruler. One day, Hadida Naharam was wandering around the countryside swinging his axe, looking for likely trees to cut down. Picked it up and ate it. He leaned down to hand her another fig. At that instant, she sprang up and seized his arm with tremendous force, so that he fell headfirst out of the tree. While he was still dazed, she trussed him and slid him into a sack, which she tied up and slung over her shoulder as though it had no weight. Then she began to walk, taking powerful long strides. By this time, Hadid and Haram knew he had been captured by a ruler. She was the only one he wanted. He did not cut her head off until after he finished making love to her. Afterward, he set to work chopping up all seven bodies, piled them in a great mound in front of the door, where the old woman would come in, taking care to put the heads and breasts at the bottom, and to pile the cuts of flesh on top. Finally, the door opened and the old woman stood there. The first thing she saw was the great mound of fresh meat lying in front of the door. Without any hesitation, she sat down and began to devour the raw flesh. But then, as she ate, she pushed her hand down into the mass and pulled out a breast. She stared at it a moment, put her head back and shrieked in lament. She did as he told her, and he hurled the poker down into her mouth. It was so hot that the end of it came out through her neck. She rolled around on the floor, bumping into things. "What's wrong, grandmother? Did you fall?" She peered up at him, and he emptied the burning coals over her eyes and face. She rolled on the floor again, and at that point, Hadid and Haram ran down the ladder, his axe in his hand. He swung at her neck, chopped at it until her head fell off.